You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of Locked On Pirates is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, covers baseball every day, Monday through Friday, on the Locked On MLB podcast, from the present and the past, joined by local experts just like myself almost every day to talk about individual team performances, about some of the hottest teams in baseball, including the Tampa Bay Rays. Sully has it all. He has it all Monday through Friday, every single day, and you can download the Locked On MLB podcast on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts, and enjoy today's episode. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most, and I hope you're all having a fabulous Wednesday, June 2nd. And I told you and I promised you that we had two new guests on the show this week. You guys are always seeing Gary every Monday, and you never know, this guest might become a regular as well. We might have every single day with a guest pretty soon. And you guys seem to like that. But today on this podcast, we're going to talk about some other things other than the players coming back. I mean, of course, it'll probably be brought up and stuff. But we're going to talk about a bunch of different things like expectations for this team moving forward in the month of June, two-month report card, and, you know, a bunch of other things like trades. Obviously, we're only a little bit under 2 months away from the trade deadline. So it's going to be a fun episode. And joining me today is a digital sports producer who absolutely loves the Pirates, probably as much, if not more than I do, Mr. Adam Bittner. How are you doing today, Adam?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
Doing great, man. I can't complain. I mean, I can complain about the loss last night just because it was the first time that I felt like the offense actually was trying to do something for the first time in a week. And then, I mean, the whole game just blew up in their face. And before we get into a lot of that other stuff, there is something I want to get off my chest. Why did Derek Shelton leave Will Crow in the game after he was getting hit like that to face Andrew Benintendi with a grand slam that followed?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think he's been really conservative with a lot of these pitchers for a lot of the season. I think, you know, Pirates fans have had to be getting used to guys going less than five innings a lot of nights, even when they have their stuff going fairly well. And I think especially with these guys that they've been bringing up from the minors that they're trying to, you know, give opportunities to, he's shown that he's been conservative in the past with them. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, when he deviates from that course.
Yeah. And it was just very interesting because, like I said, that game, I mean, the Pirates did everything, as most of my listeners heard me yesterday, they did everything that I wanted them to do. They got on Brady Singer really early, which is what they needed to do. Will Crow looked strong through the first three innings. I mean, he was almost unhittable. He only gave up two signals and one run before all that stuff happened in that inning. And I was like, wow, they're actually doing something. And then the game just escalated, kept moving forward, and they just ended up getting doubled up. But now that we're in the month of June, I mean, obviously it's hard not to bring up, but Key Brian Hayes should be back tomorrow. Thank God. I mean, it's felt like it's been forever and it's only been maybe 2 months. And then, of course, Colin Moran and Phillip Evans start their rehab assignments yesterday. Looking at the opponents, they have the Marlins, the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Nationals, the Indians. I will be in attendance for one of those games. The White Sox, the Cardinals, and then they finish off the month against the Rockies. What are some realistic expectations for this baseball team in the month of June?
I can't say that I have higher expectations. I know they should be getting some guys back here between Hayes and Colin Moran, hopefully a little bit down the line. You know, I think those guys are major league ball players. And I think on a team like this that has a lot of possibly fringe guys getting playing time right now, having big leaguers will, I think should make a difference. But, you know, I've also been really cautious to not heap a ton of expectations on Key Brian Hayes. You know, I think building him up to be a savior is kind of dangerous. And I think we need to be cautious about him building him up and giving him, you know, Starling Marte syndrome, which is what I call the expectation that Starling Marte was always supposed to be better than he ended up being. I think he's probably the most vivid example, but there's plenty of Pirates that you can probably go down the list who've experienced this with expectations where they, you know, they get off to a hot start. You remember Starling Marte's first home run and his first at bat. You know, I think because he's really by far the best player on this team, by far the best pedigree, I think people kind of have this expectation that he's going to be an MVP caliber player, you know, the moment he gets back. And I just don't think that's realistic. I think, you know, even think about Andrew McCutchen's career. It took him a few years to kind of bloom into the guy he was going to become. And I'm not saying Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to get there, but, you know, I think it's a lot to ask of that guy, still only, you know, really less than 2 months into his career, to carry a team that is this bad broadly. So I like to caution against building expectations too high, because I think, you know, that kind of followed Starling Marte throughout his career here. He people always thought he was supposed to be better than he was, and I feel like he never really got his due credit. And I think some of the hype around Ke'Bryan Hayes kind of sets him up potentially for that if he's not an MVP caliber player the way people think he should be, or at least some people think he should be.
Yeah, and that's what one thing that me and Gary talked about on Monday is just looking at this month. Like, let's just look at this month. Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to be here for a while. This is not going to be the same thing where Ke'Bryan Hayes builds himself up for 3 years and then the Pirates trade him. I don't think that happens, just because you're looking at a new front office, you're looking at a new coaching staff, you're looking at just a whole different management style. Just looking at this month, the one thing I would say the Pirates have been missing, and Gary, who's been one of our main guests on Mondays, has said this almost every time we talk, is the Pirates have two very good hitters in their lineup right now. Adam Frazier is one of the best batters in baseball in a year where everyone's not hitting the baseball this year. Brian Reynolds has come back to form for the most part. He's not over 300 anymore, but he's come back to what he was. I mean, he's hitting the occasional home run. I believe he's on a pace right now where he hits a home run every 28 at-bats. But outside of that, the only other guy realistically over the last couple of days that has really been adding to the offense is not even your starting catcher. It's Michael Perez, who has an RBI and a hit in four straight games. So when you add Ke'Bryan Hayes back into this lineup, and then as you mentioned earlier, Colin Moran, eventually, it's going to give you an influx of hitting in the middle of the lineup again, because it allows you to shuffle things around. You can put Hayes in the five hole if you want. You can put him in the two hole. You can put Colin Moran in the five hole. You can do like so many different things when those guys come back. And just looking at it, I don't think it's necessarily going to lead to wins, but your offense right now, I believe, leads Major League Baseball in games scored with three runs or fewer with 32, I think is the number. So when you look at that, there's obviously a problem. And again, I'm not that kind of Pirates fan to try to lie to people and say this team is going to all of a sudden get better when those guys come back, wins and loss wise, but the offense should definitely see some kind of influx when they come back. And I want to know, like, do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think baseball is a difficult sport, right? Because we're in this three true outcome environment, and the Pirates, you know, pretty much, no, however you draw it up, they are not going to be that type of team. You know, in the best case scenario, they don't have a ton of big home run hitters. So, you know, in that sense, I don't see that, you know, the return of these guys is going to dramatically change that, but I think it could help them string some hits together, play a more traditional style. And when you have, I think right now with really only Frazier and Reynolds in this lineup, it's really hard to string things together, even when those guys are playing well. But if you can have, you know, one, two, three, four guys string together some hits at the top of your lineup or in the middle of your lineup, you know, however, Derek Shelton, you know, decides to play his lineup, then I think you get to see a bit of a different offense. You know, does that translate into wins? Like you said, I don't know. I think it's still going to be difficult when you still have so many kind of dead spots in your lineup, to really, you know, string together large rallies and get those three, four, five runs in an inning. But You know, maybe some of those innings where they get some guys on base that turn into zeros start turning into ones and twos, and over a long period of time, that can certainly make a difference.
Oh yeah, and then I mean, on the pitching side of things, unfortunately, Miguel Yajure now goes to the IL. I definitely have also said this with the returns of a lot of players, especially possibly this month or next month in July. A lot of pitchers are going to be starting to come back into this mold too, and we'll get into it in the next segment about like trades and stuff, like potential trades this team can make. But so far, based on these trades they've made, Will Crow and Miguel Yajure have not looked terrible. They have not looked bad. I mean, Crow yesterday just didn't get the benefit of getting pulled before he should have been. But I mean, Ben Cherington, and I trust this man a lot. Like, he's like probably like the savior in my eyes at the moment. Like, I think just based on his track record, he's going to get this team back to where they need to be in 3 or 4 years' time. But to like leave it again in June, I mean, they're at 20 wins right now as a guess. And I know, as you said, baseball is a tough sport, but as a guess, by the end of this month, where do you think the Pirates win total sits at?
I'm going to be bullish and say maybe it's around 30, somewhere around 30. And I think, you know, I don't think they're going to have a winning record this month. I don't think they're going to have a winning record in any month for the rest of the season. I still, you know, I predicted this team's going to lose 100 games. I think it's still on that track, even when they start getting some of these guys back. And I think, you know, if you get 10, 11 wins in a month, I think that's probably a good thing, because over 6 months, that's, you know, if you can get 11 or 12, that starts adding up and you can kind of avoid 100 losses. So yeah, I'll say, you know, for most months, I think I'm going to predict something along the lines of, you know, 10 and 20, 10 and whatever, because, you know, regardless of some of these guys coming back, I just don't know what that means for a team. You know, I guess I'm still watching the Pirates more as an individual type of, you know, can Adam Frazier boost his trade value? Can, yep. Can Brian Reynolds kind of prove he's consistent to the point that maybe the Pirates can give him an extension? That's kind of still the mode that I'm watching in, but you know, you can always be surprised. So I guess right now I'm going to predict 10 wins for this month.
Awesome. And you spoke into it. So today's episode is also brought to you by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 different flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. If you chew, well, saying, I messed this all up, but either way, it's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches, nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On team listeners a special offer. Right now, you could try a can for just $1. Yeah, just $1. Go to fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code Locked On. Just $1 in free shipping if you use that code at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, fullyloadedchew.com. And you mentioned it before the last segment ended that Adam Frazier could boost his trade value. And I asked this question to almost all of my guests, and it seems like I get a different answer every time. Which player of like probably the big three that can get traded, and that means I usually say it's Adam Frazier, Richard Rodriguez, and Tyler Anderson, has the most trade value as of right now?
I'd say it's Frazier, especially because I think he's the type of player that a good team – you know, could plug into their lineup, and he does a lot of things that, you know, maybe some other players in their lineups don't do. We were talking about the three true outcomes earlier, and you know, that's not his game. He's been getting on base, and you know, I think that could fit really well with the contender. He doesn't have to be the main guy. He may be able to see some better pitches because he's not the most dangerous hitter in some of these bigger lineups. So I think he could be really valuable to you know, to some of these contending teams, and he could be the type of guy that you know, we look at, you know, come October, and you know, Pirates fans get all upset when they see former Pirates succeeding elsewhere. I think he could be you know, right in that mold and in some significant October moments. Not to say that the other guys can't be, but you know, I don't necessarily imagine Tyler Anderson in a hugely high leverage spot. You know, I think Richard Rodriguez, you know, for as good as he's been with the Pirates, is he going to be someone else's closer, or is he going to be, you know, more of a late inning guy somewhere else that's, you know, maybe not in that most visible role in a bullpen. That's why I think Adam Frazier, you know, really could seamlessly fit in with another team. And, you know, he can make an impact on your lineup every night.
Oh, yeah. And what teams do you think? And I mean, one team that always comes to mind for me and Adam Frazier is the Oakland Athletics. But what team do you like teams do you think would be in on Adam Frazier? Like, who do you think around that time? Obviously, there's still 2 months. Things could change. But like, who do you think would be in the mix for him?
I don't have a real good read on that yet. I feel like every time these deals end up happening lately, it's the Dodgers who end up scooping people up. I haven't done any research about what their, you know, actual needs are right now, but it just seems like they're always the most aggressive with moving on from prospects. I think Oakland might be difficult because, you know, that's just kind of not their MO to kind of make those types of deals. He could be a good fit, but, for now, I think we are in the era of the big markets. I think they're the ones that are going to be the most aggressive. So, I'm going to say a big market like New York or Los Angeles or something like that.
And the fact that you bring up New York is very interesting to me because I believe Adam Frazier's strikeout rate is really low this year, and the Yankees have a very big issue with striking out. So if they could fit Adam Frazier in there, and I believe their starting second baseman is Rougned Odor, if I'm not mistaken right now. I probably am wrong when I say that. It might be Gleyber Torres. I don't follow the Yankees too much. I just know their players. I don't remember really where they're at all the time. But, I mean, if you cement a guy like Adam Frazier, as you mentioned, into that lineup, one, he's not going to be the main guy. And two, if you get the other runners on base, more than likely the way he's hitting right now, he's going to drive you in one or two runners every once in a while if he has guys on base. I mean, we saw that last night. And then you go to Richard Rodriguez, and I think for him, with just the way he's pitched this year and the amount of control that a team would have on him, like the Pirates have a ton of control on him right now. Where, like, again, I think you bring up a big market team. Could the Dodgers be in play for Richard Rodriguez as well?
You never know, although I still kind of wonder how much the Pirates can get for him. I think back to Felipe Vasquez, before obviously everything went down with his legal situation. But that was obviously after the trade deadline, and the Pirates had been, you know, I think we all kind of expected that the Pirates were going to trade him. And I don't think his trade value possibly could have been higher as a reliever at that time. And the Pirates couldn't get a deal done. So I think, I think it's possible that Richard Rodriguez may stick around if they don't like what they're, if they don't like what they're getting from. I don't think that they need to move him. I don't think they need to feel a compulsive of need to get rid of him at this time. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of offer they get from what team. Just given that. They were in this situation not too long ago, and they ended up really getting nothing. So can they get a better deal, or can they at least get a deal that they're willing to take? Is Ben Cherington less of a, does he have lower expectations for his return in that type of deal than Neil Huntington appeared to have? I think that's going to be instructive in terms of learning about this front office and the way it wants to operate. So I'm hesitant to heap too many expectations on the situation. I'm more curious to see where that goes.
Yeah. And I agree with you 100%. And the thing that I like about like how this situation goes is it's either you trade Richard Rodriguez and get probably mid-level prospects to add to your farm system, which is not a bad thing, or you keep him. And based on how he's played this year, to me, he's a top 10 closer in baseball when he gets the opportunity to get in there and save a baseball game. Obviously, I think he had his first blown save Sunday against Colorado, but when you only have one blown save and 8 opportunities, it's not too bad. And when your ERA is a 1.61, also not too bad. So this is kind of like that. He's kind of more of the win-win to me in this situation with trades, just because if you keep him, you have all these, like, I mean, you could always trade him next year if he continues on this track. You have so much control on him that if you do decide to keep him, you're never really going to have to pay him an outrageous amount of money. And I mean, if you trade him, you pick up some guys that might be good. And so far, going back to trades that he's already made, I mean, some people are already considering the Jameson Taillon trade a win just based on what we've seen from guys like Roenzy Contreras, Michael Escoto, and Miguel Yajure so far. So, I mean, it's very interesting to look at, as you said, it's going to be a very interesting way of looking at how this front office does operate. We've seen a little bit of it, but we haven't really seen it at a trade deadline. There was no moves last year at the deadline that were major moves. So how much does this trade deadline play into how big the rebuild could be?
Well, I think you've already moved on, thinking back to this offseason. I think that the major moves have already been made. And, I also like to caution people, with regard to these trades, that you look back at the Neil Huntington rebuild last time around. There was not a lot that came out of those trades. I think you think of the Nate McLouth trade, getting Charlie Morton back, Jeff Locke, those guys. But then you think of the Jason Bay, the Xavier Nady trade. Those weren't necessarily the building blocks. Drafting and developing is still, kind of the bread and butter. And there's free agent signings too. So I think they've already made a lot of the major moves they're going to make. I think they still have some guys that they can get some value from. But I think if they went, full tear down this year and they said, okay, we're going to trade Rodriguez, we're going to trade Moran, we're going to trade, Adam Frazier, we're going to trade all these guys that might have any value that, we don't think are going to be part of the next good Pirates team. I don't know how that would totally change the trajectory. And I think that kind of gets to what Ben Cherington's strength is supposed to be, is the drafting and developing. And that's what's supposed to differentiate him from Neil Huntington. I think Neil Huntington kind of, relied on these big trades and, to kind of build his reputation and to kind of build this team. And I think we saw that it wasn't always as deep at times as it needed to be to kind of get over the top in those division races or those wild card races. So I think Ben Cherington's going to hopefully develop a lot of guys that aren't necessarily on your radar because they were acquired for Starling Marte or because they were acquired for Josh Bell or something like that. I think there's going to be a lot of guys that hopefully he gets in the mid rounds of the draft that start to develop and surprise you or guys he goes into Latin America for, that kind of develop well and become very solid ball players. And I think that's going to be the mark of his team, the way it has been at some of his previous stops, if things go well.
Oh yeah. And then you brought up drafting. So who do you think the Pirates potentially are going to draft number one overall come July?
I'm not going to predict because you never really know with this franchise and the draft. I mean, we all remember Daniel Moskos and those guys and, you never really know. I still think that they should go with one of the two pitchers from Vanderbilt. I like them both. I like watching them both pitch. And granted, they're going against college hitters and, it's probably easier to look dominant against them than it is against big league hitters. But, they're fun to watch. And I think the one thing that the Pirates are really missing right now is a true buzz prospect, who's going to get people excited in that Pedro Alvarez, Garrett Cole, Jameson Taillon mold. There's some guys that certainly have some promise, but I feel, on the big Pittsburgh sports radar, there's no real name tying this rebuild together and kind of the person that everyone's pointing to and saying, that's where our hope is. It's kind of Ke'Bryan Hayes. And, I don't know outside of, unless you're following the Pirates minor leagues every day and these guys really well. I just don't think that there's anyone that's really resonating on that headline level. And I think one of these two pitchers from Vanderbilt could be that guy.
Oh yeah. And I'm still on the Jack Leiter train. I think he's still probably the best player as of like right now to me, best prospect wise. I've heard a lot about Marcelo Mayer. I've heard a lot about Jordan Lawler, heard a lot about a bunch of other guys. But I mean, if you also want to bet on players instead of betting on games, you should check out Sports Trade. It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. A fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform. So check it out today. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new way of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. You guys should also check out betonline.ag. It is the one place that has you covered and the one place we trust here at the Locked On Sports Network for all of your sports betting. You can bet on the NBA and NHL playoffs. Both are in full swing and both have been very interesting playoffs for the most part. You can bet on MLB baseball every day, MMA, UFC, even golf. Golf is actually pretty fun to bet on. I did it once, and I thought it was actually pretty interesting trying to figure it out and trying to bet on it. You can also bet on award shows and reality television on betonline.ag. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get a 50% welcome bonus, meaning they will give you about 50% of what you put into your account with your first deposit at betonline.ag. And always remember to bet responsibly. So now, Adam, we talked earlier about the June expectations, but through the first 2 months of the year, what is the kind of report card that you would give this Pirates team, like in terms of hitting, pitching, overall what their goal is and how they've achieved it, et cetera?
That's difficult for me just because what are we grading them on? Are we grading them on, you know, as a major league team that is supposed to be competing in 2021, or are we grading them on the scale of, you know, have I been encouraged or discouraged by the moves that have been made looking toward the future? You know, I think it kind of depends on what scale we're grading. I think on the scale of a major league franchise, I think the grades are pretty bad. Probably like a, you know, D's, F's, maybe some C's here and there, but they're a bad team. You know, there's no way of getting around that. I think in terms of looking toward the future and, you know, how the things that you might have been hoping to see have measured up to expectations, I think you should be encouraged by the pitching in some of these circumstances. I think we've seen some meltdowns, but I think we've also seen some promise that I wasn't necessarily expecting. You know, I think we've seen guys like Colin Moran take steps forward. I think Adam Frazier's boosted that trade value, like we've already talked about. Richard Rodriguez, whether you hold on to him or try to move on from him, I think he's definitely boosted his stock. I think there have been some encouraging developments for the future. I think the one big mark, obviously, is the Key Brian Hayes injury that's, you know, kept him from developing, kept him from getting people excited. So if I had to grade the season, you know, in terms of where we're going from here, and kind of looking forward to what this first 2 months have meant for the Pirates' future, I'd probably give it a C plus, maybe a B minus, somewhere in that range. I think there's been enough encouraging stuff. And I think if you get Cree Brian Hayes back and producing, I think, you know, there's reason to maybe feel a little bit more excited going into the second half. You know, if not for the team's chances, at least that maybe you have some positive momentum going, you know, like you started to feel maybe in 2011 or 2012, and maybe they avoid this turning into a 2010 style disaster where they lose 105 games, or, you know, for that matter, a 2020 style disaster, you know, where they end up with the number one pick. Maybe you start to feel that momentum going in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think we're on the same page as, like, if you look at it as if they were supposed to be competing, which they aren't, of course their grades are low, but I think they've definitely, you've seen a lot of positives individually based on, as I mentioned, Miguel Yajure has looked good. Mitch Keller, for all intents and purposes, to me, has looked pretty good. I mean, I give him crap all the time, but I mean, like, he's coming around a little bit. It seems like the command on his fastball is starting to get a lot better. He seems like he's actually going out there and trying to pitch strikes, not just like going out there and throwing the ball. He does have to break that mold of having one good game, one bad game, like every other game. But, I mean, you've seen improvements from a lot of these guys. And as you mentioned, if Key Brian Hayes comes back and say he hits 265 for the rest of the year, if he's healthy for the rest of the year, I'd be okay with that for the most part, just because, I mean, again, realistically, as you mentioned earlier also, we've only seen 2 months of Key Brian Hayes. Now, if he stays healthy through the rest of this season, you get to see a half a season of Key Brian Hayes, which will give you a lot more of optimism, hopefully, in what he can do. And then, I mean, also, as you said, with trades, like as we talked in the last segment with trades, this team could look very different than it does right now, just based on either one or two moves. So as moving towards the future, I'm very excited. I am very excited to see what happens just because there's so many players still left in this mold of the rebuild that we haven't seen and won't see for a good minute. But next year, 2022, I think will be probably the fun year because you're going to start seeing some of these guys like a Travis Swaggerty, hopefully an O'Neal Cruz, guys like that come back up or come up and make impacts. And that's, I think, all you really want from a team that is not that great right now is to see young prospects come in and make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of go back to that 2011-2012 neighborhood I was talking about where, you know, there were obvious deficiencies in those teams. And, you know, you kind of knew the bottom was, I don't think anyone expected the bottom to fall out quite as dramatically as it did those years, but I think you kind of knew that those teams were going to fade over time. They were not ready for prime time. And I think, you know, we're going to have a few years of that here, especially because this team is starting, you know, we're only reaching the bottom now, right? And so I think it's going to be a few years before, you know, you kind of get these groups building up to being competitive again. But those 2011 and 2012 years were fun for a lot of people. Those were the AJ Burnett years. Those were the, you know, the years where they were in first place in July and there were packed crowds and people got excited. And I think that's really all they need to do to get to make baseball enjoyable in Pittsburgh for a lot of people is just compete. And I think, you know, if you have a little hope, they're not too far off from that, maybe being a 75-80 win team that at least keeps you interested, you know, into the later portions of the season.
Oh yeah, and it's always what if they kept Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows, right? Always got to bring that one up. I mean, but for me, again, that's what I always tell my listeners, and I think some of them got on board with me like about a month ago, is this team isn't going to be that great now. But if you stick around for the next 2 or 3 years, get to learn these players that are going to be in this system for a while, it just makes that much more fun because you can say, oh, I watched Travis Swaggerty when he was a rookie and then turns out to be a good outfielder if it happens. Or I watched Key Brian Hayes when he first came up and then elevated into a superstar if it happens. But that's the crazy part about baseball. And I do think baseball is probably the hardest league to rebuild in, because it's so many what ifs. Like, there's always the what if there of what if this player doesn't pan out? And the Pirates have seen that. I mean, Tyler Glasnow was never going to be what he is in Tampa in Pittsburgh. It was never going to happen. That's why the trade was made. Now, of course, in hindsight, it looks bad, but I just never thought he was going to ever be like that. And that could happen here with some of these players too. But one thing that I said about a lot of these trades in the offseason that I liked about Ben Cherington is he didn't just go and say, I want two good quality prospects, because you never know, those guys might not pan out. He got quantity over quality, and maybe even quality in quantity, which is what I think he's done a great job with so far.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things too that is definitely different is that he's gone younger. I think Neil Huntington, for a lot of his tenure, even in those early years, when you look back at the Xavier Nady and Jason Bay trades, those guys, he wanted guys that were close to the big leagues. And in some cases they had potential, but in other cases you kind of knew what their ceiling was. And I think what Ben Cherington's doing is, you know, I think it's more than just quantity versus quality. I think he's getting quantity because he's asking for younger players who are less projectable, right? He's asking for guys who are, you know, could just turn out to be total duds, but also have much higher upside. So I think that's an interesting tactical difference. The problem with that is that it might set back the time it takes for this team to compete, because these guys are starting from the lower levels of the minors instead of AA and AAA. So, you know, that's why the Pirates are able to get more of them, but you just got to kind of look at them more as dart throws than, you know, building blocks. And I think that's why it's the number one pick is going to be so important for this team, because that's the one guy you're going to be able to look at and say, this guy's going to be contributing. This is someone we can get excited about. Whereas some of these other guys, you're really not sure about where they're going to go yet. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just very different from what we've been accustomed to over the last 15 years.
Oh yeah, of course. And Adam, it has been absolutely great talking to you, by the way. This has been absolutely amazing. Where can we find you and your work? So I like Twitter and where you do all of your work and stuff.
Yeah, my Twitter handle's at FujiMaster24, F-U-G-I, and all of my work appears on post-gazette.com. We have great baseball writers, Jason Mackey, Mike Persak. Those guys are the hardest working team in Pittsburgh, I think, in terms of covering this team on a day-in and day-out basis. You know, Jason's crazy. He's always working. So, you know, definitely check out their work. They're working on the Pirates daily. You know, I try to drop in as often as I can in between working on some of these other teams. So definitely check out all of our work, and you can definitely find me there.
Oh yeah, of course. And you guys already know you can find this podcast on Odyssey, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow the Twitter page at Locked On Pirates or follow me on Twitter at MVP_Ethan. And honestly, let me know if you guys want Adam back. I definitely do. This was a great conversation. And Adam, I hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday. Enjoy the Pirates off day as the Pittsburgh Pirates take on the Miami Marlins tomorrow, starting on Thursday, in what will hopefully be the return of Key Brian Hayes. I'm saying hopefully because I will believe it when I see it. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday, and I will see you on the flip side tomorrow.